Today is Thursday, the day we read from some of your letters. And first, a correction. In Claudio Sanchez's story about a program to rekindle the spark of burnt-out teachers, the participants climbed to the top of Mount LeConte. Many listeners pointed out an error, among them Ann Bridges, a reference librarian at the University of Tennessee. She wrote, "Your claim that Mount LeConte is in North Carolina is erroneous. While the teachers may be from North Carolina, Mount LeConte resides on the Tennessee side of the Smokies."
The biggest letter getter this past week was our coverage of the differences between credit and debit cards. Many people felt like Paul Sears of Martinez, California, who wrote, "I found it amusing to hear your guest expert say that she personally doesn't know why anyone would choose credit, only moments after stating that people just aren't paying much attention to their finances these days. Even she hadn't noticed the debit fee, typically 25 to 50 cents, that often gets tacked onto your purchase when you choose debit rather than credit."
I was horribly disappointed by your lopsided story on this evening's broadcast concerning the so-called loopholes in the nation's gun laws. This is from Edward Clark, Jr. of Waynesboro, Virginia. Mr. Clark continues, "You had person after person lament the horrors of current freedoms related to the ability of citizens to purchase guns and opine that we need more restrictive gun laws. Mr. Clark describes himself as a gun collector but not a member of the NRA and says, it is trite and arrogant to assume that anyone who likes guns is either criminal or perverse, as your story implied. Come on, ATC. Don't give up the moral high ground of journalistic excellence."
A report on an effort to preserve a prairie dog habitat brought these thoughts from Clay Bedford of Roundup, Montana. "Do I ask that you let rats and mice and cockroaches thrive in the city so the man-animal interface can become more balanced? The north end of our ranch crawls with prairie dogs. If they do resemble cute, cuddly little guinea pigs, come on out. I'll get you a couple of burlap sacks bursting with the rodents. Perhaps colonies could be established on suburban lawns in Connecticut to promote biodiversity."
Our story about the legal battle over Winnie the Pooh between the Disney Corporation and Heirs of Pooh creator A.A. Milne brought these comments from Kristen Dam of Beaver Creek, Ohio. "When my brothers and sister and I were growing up, my mother used to read Winnie the Pooh to us every night, and that was one of the reasons I wanted to learn to read. While I had some qualms when Disney acquired the rights to Pooh, I guess that the road to progress was a long and bumpy one. However, when poor Pooh is pushed and pulled perilously, one has to ponder the problem. Perhaps a good flowing stream and some poo sticks would be a better way to pursue this."
And finally, Kevin Cummings in Puyallup, Washington, was driving home after a killer calculus exam when he heard our story about the new Chinese leadership in Beijing. It began with an outstanding reference to the classic Abbott and Costello "Who's on First" routine. Mr. Cummings reports, "I don't know if it was intentional. I think it was, and I loved it. And I needed the moment to refocus my mind on the reality that all things need to be in the right perspective. Nothing is all that serious in the long run."
Well, Mr. Cummings, we can confirm the allusion to Abbott and Costello was deliberate, and we're glad that at least one listener got it.
Send us your thoughts. Our email address is atc@npr.org, and please include where you're writing us from and guidance on how to pronounce your name.